Going to review some and get us to where we have one more message in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive also for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a cancer or a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth those that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. This morning I wanted to talk to you about holding it all together. Holding it all together. And I hope that this breaking news doesn't take you by surprise, that God is in control. And it's actually a good reminder sometimes that we need. Holding it all together. The opposite of that is what? Losing it. Falling apart. Sometimes we try to hold it all together using wrong means. Try to hold it all together with band-aids, when actually the Lord wants us to rest in Him. This morning we're going to be talking about holding it all together, and you'll see why I've titled the message that in point number two today. First thing I want us to consider is that we need to hold it all together by acknowledging the truths and troubles that Paul had already confirmed to young Timothy.
So we need to, I hope that when you're doing your Bible reading, and I hope when we consider scriptures together, that whether it's me or someone else, they get up and they read Psalm 23. You say, yep, I know that one. And you just turn off. I hope we don't turn off. Because it's those truths that God uses to remind us that will stabilize and challenge our hearts. Hold it all together by acknowledging the truths and troubles that Paul had already confirmed. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And from this, we learn that we need to find our strength in the Lord. And that word strong, it's not us being strong in ourselves. We're being strong in the Lord. But I love the meaning of the word. It's the word dunamis or dynamite. An equal understanding of that is that God will give us the strength equal to the task that He's put before us. So day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find for every trial here. Be strong in the Lord. He's going to give us the strength. Even though sometimes 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that there's things that overwhelm us. Paul says, you know what? I felt like I was going to die. I felt like the end was near. There are times when the Lord does allow things so hard that we're going to feel overwhelmed. He will give grace equal to the task. And folks, can I ask you, this week when you feel overwhelmed, when life is at its hardest, trust the Lord. His grace is going to be sufficient. Because he says in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, you remember Paul praying that? Now, if anyone's going to get his prayers answered, it's going to be the Apostle Paul. He prayed three times, Lord, will you please take this from me? The Lord's response was, my grace, my enabling power is sufficient. It's enough. It's equal to the task. Whatever you're going through, whether it's an eye problem or something else, my grace is equal to the task. So hold it all together. Don't fall apart, because His grace really is sufficient. We can have our strength in Him. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Secondly, hold it all together by not going at it alone. Are you a lone ranger? Is that your tendency, to be a lone ranger? Or is it you and your crowd and that's it? Don't go it alone. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, teach others so that they can teach others. That they can teach others. Include others. Invest yourself in others. And in fact, when you find people not investing in you, you invest in others. Paul tells Timothy, you know, holding it all together, it's not just of us doing everything by ourselves. Next thing he said, don't quit. Hold it all together. Don't quit. Whether things are not pleasant, whether things leave a hole in you that happened, I'm giving you the ideas of what the word hardness means. Whether things seem like you just can't, why in the world would God allow that in my life? Endure hardness. Soldier doesn't ask why he's got to dig the hole, why he's got to do this. He may. He's just a soldier. Don't quit.
Don't get distracted. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Keep your focus on the Lord. You know what? When we start focusing on our family or our friends or what somebody said or the pastor or something else, we're going to be disappointed. We need to have our focus on the Lord. We need to make sure that He's the reason we're doing what we're doing, holding it all together. Don't do it your way. Don't take shortcuts. If a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You know, sometimes instead of depending on the Lord and obeying the Lord and following Him and including Him in our lives, we try to do things our own way. I'll work it out this time, God, and I'll let you know if I need some help. Well, the Lord wants us to not take shortcuts. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to do things His way. Remember in whom your hope is. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Don't let everything fall apart. Keep it all together because Christ is alive. Hold it all together because even though life is not fair, Paul says that wherein I suffer trouble, even as an evildoer. You guys will remember that word evildoer. That describes those two that Jesus was crucified with. They were evildoers. Paul was being treated like someone that was worthy of death. Sometimes life is not fair. The way we treat others, the way others treat us, sometimes is not fair. Persevere. Hold it all together because others need the Lord. He says, I endure all things. I persevere when burdened. I endure the trials that I'm going through because other people know the Lord. And folks, can I just say that whether it's your family or the friends that you have or your neighbors, man, the Lord has gotten you there on purpose to be a light, to be a witness, to share with them the wonderful news. Paul knew. Paul says, you know what? All this stuff I'm going through, I just need to somehow get more people to the Lord. So Paul was about winning others to the Savior. We need to believe God's Word. We need to believe God's Word. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, and we went through the saying, three sentences, long saying, we need to believe God's Word and not doubt it. We need to focus on pleasing God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're not going to please anyone else, which you might not, work on pleasing the Lord. That's what really matters. And then guard your mouth. Guard your mouth, guard your ears. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. I can just picture that. I can just picture some of the people who were happily following the Lord, who they believed what these two were saying, and it threw them upside down.
They just went away. Steve Jobs was one fellow like that. When he was 13, he went to his pastor and said, "Pastor, I saw on Newsweek or one of the magazines all these kids dying. Does God know about that?" And the pastor, without clarifying and without saying, "Well, yes, but there's more to it than that. Can I talk to you about that for a minute?" He said, "Yes, God knows that. God knows everything." And he just didn't go any further. Steve Jobs said, "Well, if that's the kind of God Christianity is, I'll just leave that." Holding it all together. And you know, these folks that left, they started trying to work their life out some other way. They tried it, you know, someone that says, "You know what, I don't want to believe in God. I don't want to follow the Lord." They start trying something different. And they use that as their explanation for life. So hold it all together. Hold it all together. Secondly, by believing the promises of God and who He is. What is the most important part of a house? I got lots of houses there. What's the most important part of a house? Some of us may say the kitchen. Just kidding. Some of us may say the roof, the outside walls, aircon. These things are the most important part of a house. When actually builders will tell you, in fact, we recently, as we were going to rent the church house out, one of the things that we checked on was how sturdy the foundation of the house is. That if the foundation of the house, no matter if you get the roof covered, no matter if you replace aircons, it's not going to be safe. And so the most important part of any house is the foundation. In fact, some of you are from Ingham, and I remember when I was there, and Brother Wally, we were driving around, going somewhere, and I asked him what an old building was, and in Ingham, and he said that old building is the old skating rink. And he told me about how they built the skating rink on an old sawmill. And they must have not dug deep enough to where that it would provide a sturdy footing, because eventually the flooring, the foundation became unsafe. And the skating rink, they had to condemn it because the foundation wasn't good. Foundation is the most important part. It provides stability. It protects from underneath, from things that we can't see, from dangers that we can't see, from things that would damage the house, give something to build on, and then it levels out the weight and pressures of the house. So a foundation is very important. Well, why did we go into all that? Well, he's just talked about how that their faith has been overthrown. And he says this: "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Hold it all together. Firstly, because the foundation of God standeth sure. We can trust His Word. We can trust His promises. In fact, just a few things there about that foundation. First thing I'll get you to notice is that the foundation is of God. It's His foundation. He's the one that's laid it. He's the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He's the one that was self-existent. He's the one that's all-powerful. This foundation, no man can shake. Hold it all together because of the foundation that we have in Christ. Not only the foundation of God, but it stands sure. It's not like jelly. I called it Jell-O growing up. But it's not like jelly. It's not wobbly. It's not going to give way. It's safe for us to be on. And then it is standing. The idea of that word standing gives the idea of that it's sure. And that it was established way back then and will always be standing. There's nothing going to change. If the Lord doesn't come back in the next 100 years, people in the next 100 years can believe the same Bible promises that we have, and they'll not be wrong. They can trust them. They're just as sure in 100 years as they are now. And 100 years ago, they're just as sure. So the foundation of God, it stands sure. Well, this foundation, it has. I remember talking to someone about the church in Charters Towers. That on the base pillars, there's an inscription describing the church, when it was founded, and things like that. Well, the inscription, it says, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." Well, if you read the book of Revelation very much, the word seal is used a lot. And what is the word seal? Well, I'm going to tell you what a Bible book said about it. A seal was a wax blob impressed with a distinct symbol that would secure a message and confirm its authenticity, or the instrument with which to make such an imprint, which was commonly a signet ring that an authoritative person would wear on his person. So do you remember when, after Jesus' death, they buried him? Religious leaders came to Pilate and said, "Pilate, can we have soldiers? Can we have a big rock?" And the last thing they asked for was a seal. And for him to basically take his ring and stamp some wax that was on that big rock, saying, "You mess with this, you're messing with, you don't want to do that, the Roman government." Well, this seal, it's ensuring authenticity, but it's also there to protect and to show that this is real, this is authentic, this is what the Lord wants. This foundation, it provides stability. This foundation, it provides protection. The seal, especially when administration and communication began to dominate all forms of government and trade, the king's seal quite literally held the realm together. It was what the king said that made all the difference in the world. What is the steadying truth of the Lord's foundation for us. What is this steadying truth? What is this protecting truth about the foundation? Well, it has this seal. Firstly, the Lord knows them that are His. Do you ever feel like the Lord doesn't know who you are? That He's forgotten where you live? That He's forgotten the issues, the dramas, or whatever that the Lord is allowing in your life? He says that the Lord knows. The Lord knoweth them that are His. John 10:14 says, I'm going to stay in John for a little while, John chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. I know them and they know me. In fact, John 10:27-28 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The word know there gives the idea of a close relationship. The relationship between a husband and a wife. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hold it all together because you are known of your Father. Psalm 103:4 says, for He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. He knows what we're like. And if you can remember, you know, sometimes maybe we have a tendency, it's not that we should correct our children or help those that are coming after us. Sometimes as we get older, we forget what it's like to be 6 years old, or 10 years old, 13 years old, or 15 years old, or 18 years old, or 23 years old, or 25 years old, or 29 years old. We sometimes forget. We've been there, done that. We forget the stupid things that we did. It's just the grace of God that we're alive. The Lord remembers that we are but dust. It's not that He's ever experienced the things that, you know, He's always been God. But He knows about His creation. The Lord knows my ups and downs. He knows my down sittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. He cares. Then He knows what I'm going to say. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Hold it all together by believing His promises, believing His word. Then, by building on that foundation. So sorry.
You guys know in Fairfield's a nimble way. I go by that every day when I'm teaching our eyes. Do you remember there up behind McDonald's, there's this area that has had this foundation laid, and they haven't built anything on it for years and years and years. And you look at that and say, what in the world are they going to do? I was supposed to take a photo of that for you on Friday and have it for you. That's been there for years and years and years. And you wonder yourself, why are they not building on that foundation? Why are they not? What happened? Well, it's good to acknowledge truths. It's good to believe the promises. But the Lord wants us building on this foundation.
He wants us building on that foundation. He doesn't want it just, okay, good foundation, thank you. This foundation had a two-part seal. The first part was the Lord knoweth them that are His, and you can't separate this part. It goes along with it. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Believe in God's Word, trust in Him. It's going to change the way we live. It's going to change the way we live.
He says there that let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, Paul put it similarly but differently in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where he says, walk worthy of the vocation whereunto you are called. If you say you're a Christian, walk worthy. Let your walk, the way you live, equal that you call yourself a Christian. Let the name, anyone that names Christ's name, anyone that's called on that name, anyone that says, I believe that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you've asked the Lord Jesus into your heart, let it make a difference in the way you're living. He says there to depart from iniquity. The word there of depart is our word apostatize. It's to leave. It's to go away from. Well, what are we supposed to go away from? We are supposed to go away from iniquity. We're to go away from iniquity. In fact, in Romans 1:29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murders, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers. Basically, I was just trying to show you the word unrighteousness is our same word as the one before. And that's its friends. Wrong living. Romans 6:13 says, being filled with all, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. So it's going to make a difference in the way we live. It's not just believing, but it's allowing what we believe to make a difference in the way we live. Paul says in verse 20, he says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And really, you could look at that and you could just say, okay, well, my life is my house.
There's vessels, there's good parts of that, and there's bad. I need to get rid of the things that aren't good. I need to get rid of the things that aren't pleasing to God, that aren't honoring Him.
He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, set apart, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So holding it all together, how in the world does living for God, how does that help us hold it together? How does living a right life help us hold it together? Well, it's partly a matter of, well, if we're obeying Him, it leads to peace. And it leads to Apostle Paul, man, wherever he was, whatever he was going through, He said, you know what? I know I'm in a lot of strife here, but I'm just doing what the Lord would have me to do. The more we go on our own way, the more trouble it can cause. We're trying to hold it together in the wrong way. So holding it all together, let me ask you something this morning. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Secondly, are you building your life on His promises? And then thirdly, has the Lord spoken to you about something this morning that He would say, there's something there that you need to make some changes in? There's some things that you need to make some changes in. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would help us to know Your Word. Thank You for this firm foundation that's sure that is there. I pray, Father, that You would help us, Lord, to not just know Bible facts, but Lord, to believe Your Word. Wasn't just good for Timothy or Paul or Peter, it's good for us too. Help us to trust You. Help us to be building on the foundation that we have in Christ. We can trust every promise that You give. So help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.